War is ugly. Innocent victims are often caught in the crossfire between aggressors and those who attempt to suppress them. Take Eastern Europe as a current example. We've watched the news reports with horror. So what does God expect of us when life delivers a godless battle and when carnage is the outcome? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll begins his 9th and final message in his series on Joshua. From this Old Testament story, we find wisdom for our uncertain times. Chuck titled this final message, A Choice You'll Never Regret.
I'll be reading for you today from this last chapter of the book of Joshua. If you have your Bible, please turn to chapter 24. I'll begin in verse 14 and then turn toward the end of the chapter for another segment of the passage of Scripture. Joshua's reached the end. This is his final message to the people he's led into the land, which they have conquered by the grace of God. So these are his words to them. Final words are often an individual's most powerful words. So it was with Joshua. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, 24:14. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. Verse 23. All right then, Joshua said, destroy the idols among you and turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God. We will obey him alone. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day at Shechem, committing them to follow the decrees and regulations of the Lord. Joshua recorded these things in the book of God's instructions. As a reminder of their agreement, he took a huge stone and rolled it beneath the terebinth tree beside the tabernacle of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, this stone has heard everything the Lord said to us. It will be a witness to testify against you if you go back on your word to God. Then Joshua sent all the people away to their own homelands. After this, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. May we pray? Give us ears to hear and hearts and minds to remember warnings such as this, our Father. We now live centuries after they lived. This land is not at all like that land. Our surrounding circumstances are so different from those circumstances, but the word of the Lord stands. As you spoke through this 110-year-old leader, in words that anyone could understand, and those people heard and claimed to believe, may we hear them well. May we not soon forget them. Remind us especially of these words during times of abundance, in days of peace, in a land of plenty. Remind us, Lord, that we must hold all these things loosely. May we put away the idols of our lives. May we take this personally. Guard us from clinging to anything or anyone, lest that thing or that one become more precious to us than you. Give us the heart of a Joshua. This day we will serve you and you alone. Use the words of others to remind all of us of the value of doing what is right, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. We need help as well with our vision. Be our vision, O Lord. Enlarge our borders. May we see beyond our own times and realize that your work certainly is beyond our borders as well as within. Give us the courage to reach out, the generosity to provide, the hope to anticipate what you will do and how you will do it. Minister this day in unique ways that will not soon be forgotten. We ask this through Christ our Lord. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Joshua with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now let's resume the message that Chuck titled, A Choice You'll Never Regret.
When you're 110 years old, you can say whatever you wish. And if your mind is clear and your heart is right and pure, those who are around you will want to listen to whatever you have to say. Because you've been around longer than anyone around. And you know things that others have yet to learn. And there's something also about your warnings. Sometimes they have a stinging kind of penetration as you address subjects that others may not want to address. You're free to be as strong and straight from the shoulder as you wish to be. And people will listen. Because what you say has been seasoned with years. Some of my fondest memories go back to my maternal grandfather. A part of what I appreciate so much about the memory is the respect my father had for his father-in-law. In fact, I remember we were on our way to the little bay cabin that my granddad owned down in South Texas, not far from Palacios. And my dad said to me in the car on the way down, son, This is a privilege we have to be with Granddaddy. Let's both of us say less and listen more, since both of us have a lot to learn from him. My dad at that time, if I figure correctly, was about 60 years of age. My granddad into his 80s. And my dad was saying, there are things I can learn, and I want you to learn them as well. Joshua had some things to say as he reached the end of the trail. He'd been with these people, all through the wilderness. He was an Egyptian born, that is, born in Egypt as a Hebrew. He had been there when Moses led the Exodus, appointed as Moses' assistant early on, no doubt, and he had walked in the shadow of Moses all those 40 years in the wilderness. He had heard things few people had heard. He had seen things not everyone had seen. And then when Moses died and the mantle was placed on Joshua, it was then his role to lead them into the land of promise, which he did. 40 years in the wilderness, 30 years more reaching into and conquering the Canaanites beyond the Jordan River. They had fought and fought hard and often from one tribe to another, driving the Canaanites with all of their idols out of the land. Or I should say, that was the plan. They had not yet accomplished it completely, but they were weary of war. Almost 30 years of fighting is enough to make anyone weary of war. And by now, think about it, it was like moving into a resident area of model homes. They hadn't dug the stumps or cleared the rocks from the land of promise. The Canaanites had already done that. They hadn't built the houses they now lived in. The Canaanites had built them. They hadn't dug the cisterns from which they gathered the water to drink. The Canaanites had dug them. They hadn't planted the vineyards or the olive groves from which they would eat their meals. The Canaanites had planted them. They had it made. It was a time of abundance. But Joshua, at 110, realized you must drive out all of the Canaanites, because they are all idolaters. And until you do that, you have not completed the task God would have you do. What they needed to do was guard against abundance. It can do a number on you. The scholar Alexander Tyler lived at a time when our nation was only 10 years old. And he had enough forethought to write a piece that reads like an epitaph with prophetic overtones. Listen to Tyler's words as he warns the people in this fledgling United States of America. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been about 200 years. These nations have progressed through the same sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy again back into bondage. Alexander Tyler wrote like a prophet, as Joshua spoke to the people this day, he has the same concern on his heart. Oh, they've come a long ways. Oh, they've fought bravely for the most part. But of course, Joshua is here to remind them at this age, he is 110, it wasn't you who won the victory, it was the Lord. It wasn't your bows and arrows that took the enemy out, it was the Lord directing those bows and arrows. It wasn't your plan and strategy that got us into one tribe after another and cleared them out. It was the Lord's plan, his strategy. Remember, he has guided us start to finish. You see, he's stating all of this because you forget those things in times of abundance. I realize that when times are hard, it's very difficult to go on, but I'll tell you, of the two, between difficult times and abundant times, we lean more on the Lord in difficult times. Proof? The day after 9/11. The Sunday following 9/11, our church was packed. Both services. Out into the little atrium we had. Out into the parking lot, people stood. They came from all around. Why? Because we were on our faces. We were caught off guard. We had just heard, seen on our televisions, a sudden attack that no one expected. And it hit like a bolt of lightning. And it rocked us to our knees. And people instantly felt the need for God, for God's strength, for God's guidance, for our leaders to know of God's guidance, and the courage to respond and to respond wisely. Our problem is not when times are hard. Our problem comes when it's easy, when we kick back, when the sun sets slowly and the war is ended, and with a yawn into the evening, were we those living then, we would have thought, let the Canaanites have their little territory. We outnumber them. We've already beaten the tribe. Let's leave it alone. Wait a minute. When you're 110 and you're about to die, you can see with incredible foresight. So you warn the people. That's what chapter 24 is about. Begin with me at verse 11. Turn, will you? Joshua 24, 11. Actually, the people are listening. Joshua is speaking, but it's God who speaks through his vocal cords. Listen to the Lord's words. When you crossed the Jordan River and came to the Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites and Perizzites and Canaanites, all of these tribes, and I gave you victory. Look at that. I'm the one that gave you the victory over all of them, and I sent terror ahead of you to drive out two kings of the Amorites. It was not your swords, it was not your bows that won the victory. I brought you the victory, and I gave you the land that you had not worked on. And I gave you towns you did not build, and towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So, doesn't say kick back. He doesn't say relax and take it easy. He says fear fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Doesn't mean to be afraid of him. It means to hold him in highest regard. It means to give him greatest respect. It means to figure him into your priorities, your life and lifestyle, your plans for the future, your memory of things gone by. Build him into your and your family's minds so that you and your children and your children's children will continue to respect and revere him. You see, if you leave those Canaanites where you're talking about leaving them, not only will their idols remain with them, you will ultimately intermarry, and their gods will become your gods, and you will no longer fear the living God. Fear the Lord. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. I love the way that reads. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Don't hold back. Give to his work generously. Be engaged in it regularly. Take time for it. Train your children in the value of service. Teach them by your model what it means to take time for the things of God. It's not a Sunday religion, it's a lifestyle of faith. And notice, put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates. Did you know that originally Abraham was an idolater? Many don't know that. As a little boy, his daddy was an idolater. As he grew up beyond the Euphrates, those were all idolaters. No wonder the Lord said, leave Ur, the Chaldeans, and go where I will show you to go. Get out of this area. And did you realize that when they got into Egypt, that, look at this, and in Egypt, there were some who worshiped the Egyptian gods. They weren't all pure monotheistic thinking Hebrews. Some fell in the trap of Egyptian idolatry. Idolatry is so easy to fall into. You have to understand, the ancient idols in those days are different from idols today. Except when you travel in the third world countries and you realize as soon as you step off the plane how dark it is when you're away from this magnificent nation of ours. And I say that in all humility and gratitude for our nation. Not until you've traveled enough and seen raw, dark idolatry can you appreciate what it is. By that, I mean realize the depth to which it takes you. It is demonic to the core. And because that's true, he says to them, stay away from it. Idols in ancient days were carved out of stone or metal or wood. They were built with strange shapes and grotesque faces. Pagans sacrificed and prayed to them, burned incense on them. They cast evil spells from them to others. They participated in obscene and immoral rituals before them. Go deep enough into idolatry, you will come to corruption and ultimate immorality. You will throw to the winds a pure mentality, and you will adopt a lifestyle that is the opposite of the way God would have us live.
A season of abundance had finally come to the Israelites. They had reached the land of promise. And while enjoying their newfound fortune, Joshua brought a stern warning. You're listening to Insight for Living, and Chuck Swindoll has much more to show us in Joshua chapter 24. He titled his message, A Choice You'll Never Regret. It comes from the teaching series called Moving Ahead Together with a Winning Mindset. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, Chuck has been really impressed by a Bible teacher and leader named Jonathan Murphy. Many of our friends have seen Jonathan preach online at Stonebriar Community Church because he's often the guest speaker when Chuck is away. Well, Jonathan wrote a book called Authentic Influencer, The Barnabas Way of Shaping Lives for Jesus. Perhaps you're trying to find better ways to connect with your kids or grandkids on spiritual matters. You know, in today's culture, kids are sometimes shrugging off traditional Christian values, and you're longing to have a positive influence on those you love. Well, Jonathan's book shows us the authentic and natural way to do it. It's The Barnabas Way of Shaping Lives for Jesus. To purchase a copy right now, go to insight.org/store. And bear in mind, it's not the sale of books and resources that fuels this nonprofit ministry. Insight for Living is fully supported by grateful listeners like you. We invite you to join us in our mission to reach North America and beyond with these daily Bible teaching programs. To give a contribution online, go to insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues his message about a choice you'll never regret, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Choice You'll Never Regret, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.